Please take your Bible, and it's Matthew chapter 5. Matthew and chapter 5. You recognize it immediately. Beatitudes. But I want you to see one verse especially. We'll refer to some other verses, but I want you to see this one verse. And don't miss the words. Watch closely as I read this verse 13. The Savior is teaching the disciples now. And here is what he says in part. He says a lot of things here, but here's what he says in verse 13. Ye, you disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, now notice these words, good for nothing. Watch this now. But to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. For the most part, the emphasis this afternoon in this message is this statement, ye are the salt of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad to be in your presence because you're in ours. We're so glad that you told us that we could come boldly. You told us to. Boldly into the throne room, the throne of grace. And right now, with your presence being evident, with your power being expressed, we plead with you knowing quite well that we in and of ourselves can do nothing. It is entirely by your hand of mercy and grace. We do want you to know that we bow before you. We've done our best to sing and honor you with the music. People have gathered this afternoon in expectation. And now we have this blessing. And later we have the physical blessing of the barbecue. Thank you that we're still given the privilege in America to do this today. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice the people who are blessed. Blessed are and so forth. Like poor in spirit, they that mourn. The meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The merciful. The pure in heart, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then we come to this verse 13. The value of salt. In our day, we take a lot for granted, salt being one of those things that we take for granted. But there's something that is connected to the idea of salt. And it's the child of God's influence. Your life. Your way of thinking. Your way of speaking. Your motives. Your responses. And let's see that the influence of the disciples as they're listening to the teaching, this influence on the part of the Savior in declaration, this influence is to be to the whole world. I don't miss that. You say, how do you get that? Well, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. earth. God intends for his children, after he saves one, for them to become, at God's desire, what God wants them to be. To be saved is not just a matter of being delivered from hell. To be saved is a matter of God taking you into his family so that as a brand new child of God, you then begin to grow in grace so that you can live your life in such a manner that it makes God look good. Not you, but God. Now that's God's desire. And so let's understand that when the scripture here is stated and given, the idea behind it is for the believer, the child of God, ye are the salt of the earth, but it means also that at the new birth, when that tremendous action takes place on the part of God, when you are delivered from a future of hell to the assurance of heaven, when that takes place, you right then are salt. Right then. You don't grow to get to where you are salty. No. When you're saved, in fact, when God gives conception, and only God gives conception, and when the prescribed amount of time, so to speak, comes in about 9 months or so, and then that wonderful occasion of the presentation of a brand new life, as we've heard tonight from the Auchinbachs, is put on display for the eyes of other people to see. When that takes place, God and God alone does all of that. And then when that one grows to such a place where they understand and the truth is given and the Spirit of God works and the heart is convicted and the eyes see the necessity of being born again, being saved, of trusting Jesus. And when that one is ushered into the family of God by the new birth, then from that place, that point on, it's kind of like a knife. I have a fine knife, and you well know that if you have a knife and expect it to be efficient, you need to keep it sharp. All right? If you're going to keep it sharp, you have to sharpen it. And so when you sharpen it and it's sharp, then it's efficient and it does what the knife is supposed to do. And when God begins to work in your life after you're saved, he begins to sharpen you and fashion you in such a manner that as you grow in grace and become more and more and more in love with the Master, then you also become more efficient as a child of God in representing the kingdom of God. That's the way it works. But you have to be salty. Now you have it at birth. But do you understand that you can lose it? You can. When our Lord speaks of salt and the believers, he says that if the salt loses its saltness, it loses its value. Now that has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with your effectiveness and your influence as a child of God. But now look at this. If it's lost, the saltness, it's good for nothing. Now, I didn't write it. God did. That's what God said. That ought to ring my bell, which also ought cause me to be very careful that I don't lose the saltness. I want to be what I ought to be. And being salt, factually, hear me, being salt is how I'm known. I'm saved. But if in the ministry I'm to be used and I'm to be what I can be, should be for the glory of God, then there has to be salt. And so I am to be in this world. I am to be a preserving agent. We're really not aware of the impact and the value of salt. We're not. When I was a boy, and we were living in Oklahoma, my daddy, my mother, and I, and for a while we lived in a tar paper shack. Really. And when the wind blew, it blew all the way through the house. And we had what was then called an ice box. Do you know what an ice box is? Yeah, that's not a refrigerator. An ice box, often made of oak. It had a door, and the door had a stainless steel handle. And if you pull the handle, the door would open. And after you got whatever you were going to get from the ice box, then you shut the door. And if you pushed it, then that stainless steel handle plus the catch, it would snap, close the door, seal it tight, so that what was kept inside could be kept cold. You put an ice block in there. And then you put whatever you expected to keep cool in there with the ice blocks. With the ice block. Now, refrigeration, I'll tell you what, it has influenced us greatly. And the brethren and Brother John and all, when it comes to the food bank, they sure enough understand that. And when we went to Mexico, my wife and I, with a group of young people, there was not any refrigeration. And when the meat was brought into the marketplace, the flies were all over it. And in no time at all, it would begin to have a fragrance that was unpleasant. So what had to be done with that meat? They had to rub it down with salt. Because salt is a preservative. And salt is also a purifier. So with no cooling system, they used salt. So salt is a precious commodity. Not only a preservative, but a cleanser, a purifier, a relisher, a savor. I mean, the savor gives the salt, its flavor. And so our Lord is saying to the disciples as he teaches them, ye are, don't lose it. You are the salt of the earth, but don't lose it. I would call that rather serious. I would call that statement very serious, which a lot of people overlook. And so we are followers, and we're to be the element in our society that preserves the world from total decay. You, as a saved person, have that responsibility as well as myself. I mean, the rise of civilization with the devices, that really, in the end, does not matter. There's an inevitable decline from the pinnacle of purity and power to the point of ultimate declension and deterioration. The scripture says, evil shall slay the wicked. There is no hope outside Jesus. My hope is Jesus. We sang it. We fully, with great voice, sang it this morning. I want to be sure that my living, that whatever I do, there is that element of preservation when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to what is right. But not only are we to be a preservative, we also represent the restraining influence of the presence of God. Do you understand that today, when you and I see all of the things that are taking place that are frightening, disturbing, do you understand what would happen if the Holy Spirit was not here? That's what will happen when the Christians are taken away. And the world will see a Holocaust like it has never seen in the history of the world. Because the presence and power of the Spirit of God will be removed. We're driving to church, and there is a protection. There's a restraining influence. And only the new birth saves the person out of the world, out of the hell-bound world. Only the new birth. And the person is not only saved, but the person is salt. And what salt is, the person is. And salt must be cared for. You can't let it get wet. You can't neglect it. If you neglect it, it gets hard. If you leave it in a place where it has slight humidity and it's in a bag, it'll get hard and it's not usable. It has to be cared for, just as my life in Jesus' name has to be cared for. I must not treat that lightheartedly. I mean, I can't neglect my life. I can't. You see, if I do, then I lose the saltness. See, first of all, as a child of God, you and I need to be salt, fearless. You mentioned it this morning, brother. Fearless in our defense of God's word. We must see it as our clear standard of behavior, conduct. There cannot be, hear me, there cannot be any compromise with sin. None. Absolutely none. There's nothing about sin that is palatable. It's all bad. So there can be no compromise. I cannot compromise with the commands of the Savior when it comes to my human conduct. No! I have to be very careful in study of the Scripture, in poring over the pages of the truth, to have the Spirit of God deal with me on issues that I may not be aware of. And when He shows them to me, I want to make them right. I want to get on my face before God and be sure that I'm right with God for the day that's there. God help me. But secondly, our lifestyle, our personal conduct, our character, these things must deter and deflect the decadence that surrounds us. The sights that you see are abominable. The things that you hear are despicable. But there is one who keeps you if you keep your focus on Him. He keeps you. Then it's essential that we be saturated with the Scripture. It is the impress of the Word. It's the thrust of God's Spirit which preserves both us and those around us from perishing. What a book. What a book this old book is. Now, I don't know what you do. It's your business. But I'm so keenly aware of how precious this book is that I don't put a book on top of this book. Now, if you do, I'm not finding fault with you. I'm just telling you how I think. And I just want to be sure that nothing is placed on top of it. Someone said, well, it has a cover on it. Yeah, but I don't want to set anything on top of the cover that's on it. That's the way I think. I want to be careful that I don't leave it on my dashboard and the sun shine on it and make the leather brittle. I want to be sure that I don't put it in the car seat and it be scrunched up between something and the pages are dog-eared. No, I don't want that. I want to be sure that my whole being is saturated with the truth and I know it never fails. And then I must understand that as the children of God, I don't stand apart from society. What do I mean? I mean by that I don't become a hermit. I don't cloister myself off in some monastery. I don't do something that takes me away from the privilege that I have to walk into King Super and talk to people. And I know you have a hard time understanding them now, but you still talk to them and you still listen. We have a privilege to mix with. And do you understand that when any effort is put forth to keep people from relating to each other, do you understand that that's dangerous? You still love me? Don't buy into all of the things that you're told are correct. Pay attention to the Word of God. It is always correct. And so I don't want to be aloof. Mikey is at King Super now, and he's a friend of Bob Senna's and mine. And I'm praying for Mikey. Pat is coming now, and John is coming now, and Bob is coming now, all from King Super. And all three of those folks are saved. And Bob was saved just this last year. And I, hearing Bob talk now, he's saying, I believe my wife will soon come. Well, amen. And he said, I want my daughter and her husband to come. Amen. I don't want to be apart. I don't want to be aloof from that privilege to be able to talk to folks and to be able to share the truth and to be able to have those same people rejoice on the day when they get saved and then also in the future. And then in all of this, personally, now hear me carefully. We must be positive, Christian. We are surrounded with negativism. We must be positive. That is so important. I mean, we should be known and noted for our positive, dynamic approach to all of life. Don't you think so? Class, don't you think so? Yeah, amen. I know you do. I know. So the fact is, our God is the answer. He has said it. We have the answer because He gave it. The world needs the answer, and we can give it. Let's be sure that we live and give them the answer. Brother Chris, will you give a microphone to Pastor John O? Will you close us in prayer, brother?
Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you so much for Matthew 5 and the message tonight we've heard. Lord, help us to be the salt of the earth. You have described us as the salt of the earth. Help us not to lose our savor. Help us not to be good for nothing. What a challenge. Help us not to be worthless. I pray that we would take this challenge to heart and that you'd be glorified through our response. In Jesus' name.